Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Tune in to Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and practitioner who's helped thousands transform their lives. Part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff will lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Welcome to the Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff show. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host. You're listening to a live Dream Vision 7 radio network broadcast at 1510 AM NBC Sports Radio Boston, heard live every first Sunday at 7 p.m. You can also tune into my show through our station, Dream Vision 7 Radio, every week. So to learn more and for a full station schedule, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in to our December show. Our topic this evening is the power of Reiki, a Japanese healing method. Let me begin by saying that I've designed this show around the work that I do, both in the U.S. and in Japan. I'm a Reiki master teacher in both countries. I'm really excited today to share information about this powerful technique. Maybe you've received a Reiki treatment or thought of receiving one, and I hope that this show will help you understand this healing option. So what is Reiki? Well, it's a Japanese healing method that I'm going to be explaining, and I'll also provide you with a little information about its history, its benefits, how it works, the cleansing cycle it produces in your body, your mind, and your spirit, and how a session is administered, both in person and what's called at a distance or distance healing. I'll also talk about my experiences in Japan, both the individual sessions that I hold there and other classes that I teach, and how I ended up working there. I've really had some amazing experiences in Japan. It's had such an impact on my life and on my understanding of healing. And so, you know, I'm really happy to share some of this healing culture, these ideas with you about what I have learned in Japan. And I actually just returned from Japan on Monday, so I'm past the jet lag, but basically just acclimating to the American time. So welcome to our show. To start with, you may know that the power of touch is so very important to our sense of well-being. I mean, we know this. We have even had information provided before about how a child who's not touched, a child, for example, who might end up being in an orphanage, who wouldn't be held, how detrimental this is to the child's well-being. And so the power of touch is really important. And Reiki itself is a form of what's called hands-on healing that provides this power of touch and its soothing healing comfort. Reiki, which is spelled, by the way, R-E-I-K-I, again, R-E-I-K-I, it's a healing technique that's also considered to express the energy of unconditional love. And the word Reiki, it's pronounced, again, Reiki. So it sounds like R-A-Y-K-E-Y, Reiki. Think of the sun's ray and then a key to unlock a door to healing, so Reiki. But the word Reiki, it's actually derived from two Japanese words that have been put together. Rei, R-E-I, means God's wisdom or higher power. Ki, K-I, is similar to chi, and that means life force energy. So when you put those two words together, we get a translation in English as spiritually guided life force energy. Again, spiritually guided life force energy. So, you know, to define universal life force energy, it simply means that we know that the universe is completely energy and that all the different forms on our planet and our solar system radiate universal energy. Or you can think of it as the energy that animates or makes all of us, all beings, alive. And it has everything to do with the force that gives us not only life but also spirit. So Reiki, then, is an energy healing system that helps heal you at the root, we could say, of your spirit. So Reiki is a Japanese technique for relaxation and also for depth healing. Again, it's administered by a laying on of hands, and it's based on the idea that this unseen life force energy that I was referring to flows through us, and it is what causes us to be alive and to be healthy. Now, this theory is that if a person's life force energy is low, then that person is more likely to get sick or to feel stressful, in other words, if the energy is low, the energetic vibration of that person or that animal, for example, would be low. And if it's high, the person is more capable of being happy and certainly more capable of being healthy. Now, I mentioned before that Reiki treats the body, the mind, and the spirit. So we're not really just talking about the person's body. We're talking about that integrated whole. And a Reiki treatment, which provides this life force energy, will treat then the whole person, including the body, the mind, the emotions, and the spirit, and creates many beneficial effects for the recipient overall. And these effects include not only relaxation. The main comment, actually, that people make after receiving a treatment is how very relaxed they feel. And I think that's so important since so many people, you know, are stressed out in trying to do so many things in a given day. So, again, it's so relaxing. But they also have expressed that they have felt peaceful, felt more secure, just a greater general well-being. And many people have reported certainly miraculous outcomes as a result of being treated with Reiki, both here and abroad. And I have personally been involved in cases where there's been the shrinking of tumors, there's been reduction of painful symptoms, definitely happier mood and overall well-being. The most wonderful thing about Reiki is that it is a natural and safe, completely simple method of healing and self-improvement, and really anyone can benefit from that. It's been effective in helping virtually every known illness and always creates a beneficial effect. In fact, in Japan, the statement is Reiki can do no harm. So that's how I always remember it, Reiki can do no harm. Now, it also works in conjunction with any other medical or therapeutic technique. So you don't have to, for example, opt. Certainly many people use Reiki completely for their healing process, and some use it in conjunction with other medical or therapeutic techniques, and this would be up to the individual through proper diagnosis and discussion with the caregiver, you know, the physician, to decide what to use or what to do. But it has been shown to relieve side effects, for example, from medications and to help promote recovery. And in my own practice, sometimes clients who come to me who have been diagnosed with cancer will combine the Reiki from me as a treatment with Western treatments. So in other words, they might come for a Reiki session the day after they've received radiation or the day after receiving chemo. And so for them, Reiki helps offset what's often felt as the negative side effects of those kinds of treatments. And I also provide spiritual coaching for them because, of course, I want to help them to see a bigger picture to the meaning of the illness itself and allow them to process how they're feeling. This is really hugely important, as you can imagine. Now, most of all, Reiki really is an amazingly simple technique to learn. But what's interesting is that the ability to administer Reiki, you know, to actually become a practitioner, it's not taught in the usual sense of learning a technique or trying to memorize anything. And while the practitioner is taught exactly how to perform a treatment, so in other words, you're taught to use certain hand positions to perform this treatment, the Reiki student does have to be initiated into the energy of Reiki. So you might be thinking, you know, what does it mean to be initiated into this energy? Well, as a student, the ability to give Reiki is created through energetic attunements that the student receives from a Reiki master teacher. And an attunement is just a carefully given orchestration of energy patterns. So in other words, there is specific, the Reiki master teacher gives a very specific, carefully orchestrated treatment, if you want to call it a treatment or an attunement is really the term. But the teacher gives this to the Reiki student, and what happens is at every level of learning, level 1, 2, and 3, and there are three levels, each level the student receives what's called a cleansing attunement. And this creates a cleansing shift in the vibration of the student's energy body, of course, the student who's learning the Reiki. And this allows the student to tap into an unlimited, what's called, supply of life force energy to improve not only their own health, but to enhance the quality of their own life, and to become a channel for this energy to be given to others. So becoming a Reiki master, learning Reiki, what's wonderful about it is that you are then able to give yourself Reiki daily, but you're also able to help family members or eventually become a practitioner yourself and to help people. So it's not just about learning the technique with your mind, you know, taking and opening a book. And, of course, I teach the way it's taught in Japan, where I teach it there as well. So I know there are all different kinds of branches, and I'm not able to really speak to other branches, only the one that I know and the one that I've learned, as well as the one that I teach in Japan, and it is a Japanese technique. But when I say you don't learn it with your mind, what I'm suggesting is you can't just crack a book open, learn some hand positions, and make an application. You really, or you couldn't learn it online per se, because actually, to receive the attunement, you must be in the presence of the Reiki Master teacher to receive the attunement. Again, the way that I learned it. Now, the student does undergo this vibrational treatment, and again, that produces what's called a cleansing process, and it opens the person's field up to healing. We have seven chakras in the body, and you can certainly go online if you're not familiar with chakras. It's a Sanskrit word, C-H-A-K-R-A, chakra. It means spinning wheel of energy. And there are seven chakras in the body, seven primary energy centers. So what the attunement does is for 21 days, it moves energy through your seven chakras three times. And this happens every 24 hours. And for this reason, the ability to give and receive Reiki doesn't depend upon your intellectual capacity or really even your spiritual development, because it's available to anyone. So in Japan and in the U.S. or all over the world, Reiki has been successfully taught to thousands of people of all ages and backgrounds, and likewise received by people of all ages as well. You know, a child could definitely learn Reiki. And I think this is really important to understand because, again, it's not about the ego at all, and it's not about a certain thought process per se. Now, as far as the effects of Reiki, Reiki, again, is a completely natural and safe method of holistic healing, and it does support the body's natural ability to heal itself. I really want to stress that the body has a natural ability to heal itself. In other words, it helps. What Reiki does is it helps the body to release toxins, to loosen up blocked energy, and also to balance energy, particularly in the energy centers or chakras. And it balances the body's energies overall to provide harmony in a person's body, mind, and spirit. And just a few more benefits. Reiki enhances the immune system. And by relaxing the person, of course, it helps reduce anxiety, release negative emotions, and reduce stress. It does help prevent disease in this way, and it's said to work at what's called the causal level of disease, which basically means that Reiki has its own system of intelligence that can locate the actual cause of the illness. In other words, the energy automatically goes to areas that are depleted or in need of restoration. The practitioner doesn't have to make this happen. You know, I don't have to hold a certain part on the body. Reiki actually adjusts itself to the needs of the recipient. Again, not depending upon the practitioner's intelligence or ego, and so on. Now, finally, Reiki can be administered not only on humans, but also on people of all ages, on animals, on plants, even on machines or electronic equipment. And I know you're probably thinking, really? So I will be explaining this. And by the way, just for the record, I want to point out what Reiki is not, because sometimes I have people call and say, you know, I want to learn Reiki. However, I don't know if it is, you know, if it would be in conflict with my religious affiliation and so on. So the first thing I want to stress is that Reiki is not religiously affiliated. It's totally non-denominational. You can practice any religion or none for that matter, and you can use Reiki without any conflict. In fact, in order to dispel any myths or difficulties that Christians may have, because the method is a Japanese technique, and I have had some people who are devout Christians express concern, you know, in learning a technique that's not quote-unquote a Christian technique. But there is a website that is wonderful, and it's called ChristianReiki.org. And again, you can easily find it on the website. It's ChristianReiki.org. There are wonderful testimonials of Christians, and these include nuns, Anglican priests, and Christian ministers who've been trained to administer Reiki and who have felt it is very much an important part of their spiritual work. In fact, a dear client of mine who's a devout Catholic told me over the last holiday she was having a terrible back problem, and she was away visiting relatives, and she received a Reiki session from her cousin, who was a Catholic nun. And she was actually amazed, one, that her cousin, you know, had learned Reiki, and also at how healing the session was and how it alleviated her pain. So I really encourage you to check out ChristianReiki.org if there is any, you know, doubt in your mind or if that interests you in any way. Secondly, Reiki is also not a form of massage. And as a form of energy healing, the hands are placed on or over the body, but not through any manipulation of the skin as is done in massage. It's just hands-on in a very gentle pressure. And now before I get into the history and how Reiki actually works, I wanted to tell you how I ended up teaching Reiki in Japan. I'll tell you a little more about that later in the show, but just now I wanted to kind of insert a little bit about it. About 8 years ago, I had an opportunity to go to Japan, and it was with a fellow practitioner who was going to teach healing methods there. And he thought the Japanese might be interested in my healing work and in the overall coaching methods that I use as well. So at the time of the opportunity, I have to say that I wasn't in much of a financial position to take 2 weeks off from work, and that's what it was going to involve. Remember, I'm self-employed, so I'd be losing my salary in America and affecting my business. I was going to have to pay for my ticket, which I remember cost about $1,200 at the time, and also incur expenses in Japan while there. But as I've expressed many times on my shows, and I'm known to say, sometimes you have to have the courage to make an irrational choice, to listen to your heart instead of your head. So, you know, I thought about it, and I thought, when would I ever have another opportunity to go to Japan? So I said yes, and I am so glad I did. And usually, as you know, that is the case. Some of the most powerful experiences that we have involved taking what seems like maybe, you know, a risk in some way. So just following your heart has always been my motto, or do what feels right for your soul. And something for me I knew would advance my soul's growth, which is one of the reasons, again, I went to Japan. Anyway, on my first trip, I presented a two-hour lecture to 50 healing practitioners in Tokyo, as well as perform numerous individual treatments. And I'm happy to say that my work was just very well received, and people kept telling me I was so Japanese, which is so ironic. Ironically, too, even though Reiki is a Japanese method and I'm an American, people were very interested in my explanations and teaching, not only of Reiki, which I had learned in the U.S., but also of my understanding of energy medicine through my other certifications. And by my nature, I'm a pretty quiet, sensitive person. And I think the Japanese, I remember them remarking that I was so Japanese because they remarked that I wasn't a pushy person, but rather, as they put it, like their own nature. And I guess that's probably true. And I realized instantly, and each time I've gone back since then, how much my teaching style and energy really resonates with Japanese people. They are all about harmony and respect and calmness and how the entire body, mind, and spirit are affected by everything. And, of course, these are methods and ideas that I've always known to be true and that I've taught. So since that first trip, I've been back numerous times. I've worked in Tokyo, Kyoto, Osaka, Nagasaki, and Nagoya. And I've taught Reiki at all levels, level 1, 2, and 3, which I'll explain shortly, including I've certified Reiki Master teachers, and also I've taught my Heart Living classes there, my signature programs. Last time I was there, I taught body-mind-energy principles, and I've also taught intuition skills. In March, I'll be teaching angel workshops, dream workshops, and so on, and, of course, Reiki again. But actually, I teach there much of what I teach in the U.S. My work has been well-received, and I'm just really grateful about that. So I'll tell you more about my adventures later after we discuss Reiki a little more, its history and how it works. So what about the history of Reiki? Well, traditionally, Reiki is said to have originated with a specific Japanese person named Makayo Yasui. And again, you can Google the history of Reiki, but Dr. Yasui's name is U-S-U-I. So Dr. Yasui, or Sensei Yasui, as he's referred to, Sensei is a respectful term meaning teacher. In fact, when I'm in Japan, I'm called Sensei. So that's their term for teacher, to have respect. So anyway, the history began with Dr. Yasui, who was born in Japan in 1865, and he died in 1926. And he practiced Buddhism and also studied numerous subjects, including martial arts, history, medicine, and many spiritual practices of varied religions. And what I love about the history is that Dr. Yasui had an incredible drive to understand spiritual truth, and this led him to the discovery of Reiki. He did a 21-day fast that he participated in on a mountain in Japan called Mount Karama. Now, this is a place I had the pleasure to visit totally by chance on one of my trips. But anyway, Dr. Yasui went on a spiritual pilgrimage to Mount Karama, which is actually located near Kyoto, Japan. He fasted, meditated for 21 days on this mountain during a personal spiritual retreat. And during the retreat, he had a profound healing experience, which he referred to as enlightenment, and through that came to him what later became the system of Reiki. Dr. Yasui is buried in Tokyo, and his students later erected a beautiful memorial stone explaining Reiki and Dr. Yasui's life. And I also had the pleasure of visiting Dr. Yasui's gravesite, just a very humble grave in a beautiful, quiet, and serene cemetery. But during his retreat, Dr. Yasui is said to have held one question in his heart, and that was to understand how healing works. And it was during his experience he said he was shown four healing symbols. So he received this vision of four healing symbols. And by the way, these symbols are not only sacred and confidential, but are taught to the students of Reiki for them to use them in their treatments and in their lives. And these same symbols are used to administer those healing attunements that each student receives. And after his enlightenment, Dr. Yasui created a system of Reiki through this understanding, which is the exact system that we use today. So Dr. Yasui really was a teacher of unconditional love and respect for everything. You know, he longed for social progress and gave of his own time and resources to benefit so many people. He was certainly influenced by Buddhism, which is his study of Buddhism. He was a lay Buddhist priest, which meant that he could live with his family. And in 1922, he moved to Tokyo, and then in 1923, they had a major earthquake called the Kanto, K-A-N-T-O, earthquake that devastated Tokyo. And he had such compassion for the people. I'll tell you more about that after the break, but it is time for a break. And I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, live with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, 1510 AM, NBC Sports Radio, Boston. We'll be back for further information on the healing method of Reiki.
Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and energy medicine practitioner, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Connect with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff through her Dream Vision 7 radio show, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Visit Cynthia's website at heartliving.com and like her Facebook page at facebook.com/heartliving for inspiration and guidance. Cynthia has helped thousands transform their lives. Let her lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Join us every second Sunday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, for the Nurturing Intuitive Children with Dr. Nikki Show, where you'll discover holistic strategies and techniques that support intuitive and empathic children in our homes, in schools, and in healthcare. Through our panel of distinguished guests, you'll receive parenting tips, education strategies, and holistic health solutions that'll help you improve the lives of these magnificent children and help their inner light shine even more brightly on the planet. Our program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Tune in every first Sunday at 6 p.m. for maximum success, the Coach Brew Show. You'll learn success strategies to take your game to the next level from performance consultant John Brubaker. Maximum Success explores why winners win and teaches you the keys to peak performance. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Welcome back. You're listening to a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at 1510 AM NBC Sports Radio Boston. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, host of Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, and our topic this evening is Reiki, a healing method. You can call in during this part of the show by calling our local number, 617-237-1234, or toll-free, 866-338-9663. Now, when we took the break, I had been mentioning that Dr. Yasui had moved to Tokyo in 1922. And in 1923, this great earthquake devastated Tokyo. And it was called, again, the Kanto, K-A-N-T-O, earthquake. The history reflects that Dr. Yasui felt so much compassion for the people. There were more than 140,000 who died in the earthquake, and many were left homeless, injured, and, you know, of course, grieving. And he helped thousands of people with the Reiki healing. His reputation as a healer actually earned him an award from the Japanese government for his honorable work. So Dr. Yasui believed that healing and enlightenment were possible for everyone, and that we were all capable, you know, of this healing. He did die in 1926, and by the time of his death, he had initiated around 2,000 students in Reiki and treated thousands. So after his passing, or rather before his passing, he had met a Dr. Chihiro Hayashi, and Dr. Hayashi was a student of Dr. Yasui, and Hayashi is spelled H-A-Y-A-S-H-I. And Dr. Hayashi had a tremendous influence on the development of Reiki. He spent 10 months learning Reiki before Dr. Yasui passed, and he became Dr. Yui's successor. So Dr. Hayashi, who was born in 1878, was a surgeon, and he brought a medical approach to the practice of Reiki because, of course, he had knowledge of medicine and anatomy. He was really fascinated by Dr. Yasui's work, and he himself was a deeply spiritual person as well. So he carefully observed Dr. Yasui and created what are taught today as what are the 12 hand positions of Reiki. Now, I had mentioned before that Reiki has its own intelligence. In part, it's believed that every session, or in every session, you must hold 12 specific areas on the body. These are the 12 hand positions of Reiki. And if you do hold those, you have covered all the major organs and meridians of the body, as well as the energy field. There are 4 positions around the head and neck area, 4 around the front of the torso and the feet, and then 4 on the back. And again, these 12 hand positions are used in a treatment. And in this way, Reiki is said to travel to any area needing healing and balance, you know, even if you never touch an affected area directly. So Dr. Hayashi set up the first Reiki clinic, which brought Reiki on board as a part of his medical practice. And he also created a system of teaching Reiki by using symbols and mantras during the attunement process to adjust and attune the energy levels of the students. So again, in this way, okay, I have a phone call. I understand. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm calling Cynthia. This is Sue.
Hi, and Sue.
I have a question about Reiki, and I'm wondering, can more than one person give Reiki to someone at the same time? Like I've heard that if someone is really sick, you can have more than one practitioner sending or giving the Reiki to that person. Is that right?
Yes. Thanks, Sue. That's a great question. And the answer is yes. I have participated myself in having numerous Reiki masters here at my office work together, and you can have a group that works together on a person or on other people with serious illnesses, for example. And actually doing that is such a gift to the people who are performing the treatment. You know, the recipients certainly have such positive results. They feel calmer. They feel less pain and discomfort after the treatment. But absolutely, yes, you can alternate hand positions with other individuals that might be present with you in giving the treatment. You know, let's say two or more are performing hand positions. Or if it's done at a distance, which I'm going to talk about a little bit in the show, you can each send energy to the same person at the same time. It's actually very powerful. So it's a great question.
Great. Well, I do have a friend who's awfully ill, and a group of us were talking about having a session together to send Reiki to her.
That's great. And honestly, not only for the recipient, but I think you and the group will find that when you perform the Reiki exchange in that way, it's just very healing for you as well, you know, to be able to give that level of energy to someone who needs it. It's extremely powerful and healing.
I just really appreciate it. I am glad to hear it. I'm loving the show.
Thank you, Sue. I appreciate you calling. Good luck. And again, thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
Okay. So Sue's question is wonderful because, yes, you can definitely more than one person at a time can send Reiki to someone. And this is so important. I mean, if you think of prayer, we're praying, more than one person prays for someone together or separately, so you can do the same thing with Reiki. And it is a form of energy transference. So, you know, it works as unconditional love. So I really appreciate Sue's call. So going back to Dr. Hayashi and the history, he set up his first Reiki clinic and brought Reiki on board, as I mentioned, as a part of his medical practice. And, you know, by tradition, it's considered, in Japan we say that Dr. Hayashi gave order and greater credibility to the teaching and method of healing that Reiki performs. I mean, that's primarily it. And Dr. Hayashi was succeeded by a Westerner. And this is really what brought Reiki to the U.S., a woman named Hawayo Takata. She was of Japanese descent, but she was living in Hawaii, and she really single-handedly brought Reiki to the U.S. She was an American citizen, but as I mentioned, of Japanese descent, and she could reach both Eastern and Western worlds. She was born in, I think it was Christmas Eve, if it's my memory on it, in 1900, and they named her, her parents named her Hawayo, because her birthplace, of course, was Hawaii. So Master Takata trained 22 masters in her lifetime, and many Westerners are said to have been trained by her masters, or at least to come from one of those masters in their lineage. And people who are trained in Reiki are often given what's called a lineage sheet to see how far from Takata, Yasui, or Hayashi they come. And I'm really proud to say that the woman who trained me was trained by one of Master Takata's 22 masters. So I'm what's called third from Takata, as my lineage chart reads, and my students are termed fourth from Takata. Again, you can go online to see more about the history of Reiki and learn the lineage process. Or if you're trained in Reiki, your teacher usually will tell you about that. So how did Master Takata find out about Reiki? Well, she had returned to Japan to visit relatives, and while she was there, she became ill on her arrival, and she ended up being scheduled to have surgery. And it's said that she was lying on the table before surgery and had a premonition that a non-surgical solution was going to be better for her health. And the phrase she said she heard in her mind was, "Operation not necessary." Well, at any rate, she inquired and was led to Dr. Hayashi's clinic, where she received Reiki treatments and was completely healed from those treatments. So she begged Dr. Hayashi to teach her the Reiki method so that she could return to Hawaii with that method. And he did teach her, and with his assistance and his teaching, she was able to bring Reiki back to Hawaii. And, you know, part of the Reiki teaching that I think is one of the treasures that we really receive is that Dr. Yasui created what he calls the Reiki principles or precepts of Reiki. And, again, you can see these online. They're called the Reiki Precepts. But they're just five very simple statements that you can live by. And while the actual words vary somewhat, these are how I was taught in Japan. The first precept is, just for today, do not worry. And the second, just for today, do not anger. The third, honor your parents, teachers, and elders. Be kind to all things. The fourth, earn your living honestly, and the fifth, show gratitude for everything. So, you know, these principles are so simple, but what I think they teach and help us live day by day is just balance and living in the present with respect and gratitude. And it's considered very important to abide by these principles in your life, because when you do follow them, you realize that basically all beings are connected to you. So no matter what goes on in your life, you know, let's say you engage in some petty argument with someone, and you can get beyond the situation or circumstance and express kindness from a deeper place of awareness. You know, you can realize that love is greater than anything else. So that just for today, being part of the principles, allows you to focus on today, just to be in this moment. You know, tomorrow's another day. Don't worry about tomorrow. Just be patient and practice those principles today. So most of all, they suggest that you be humble. You know, you see, in being humble, you know that any power that you have or any gift that you receive always comes really from a source greater than yourself. And rather than competing with anyone, you become a channel of higher energy. You know, it's like saying you could give and be love, which is what really Dream Vision 7 Radio is all about, and what I feel like those of us who are trying to help heal the planet are about as well. So what is a Reiki session like? Well, from the point of view of the client, In a Reiki session, you're going to be lying on a massage table or maybe in Japan, a cot on the floor, and you'll start out on your back with your hands at your sides, your legs stretched out, face up, and the practitioner will ask you to bring a healing intention into your heart and then proceed to perform 12 hand positions over the major energy centers of your body. And remember, this is not massage, it's hands-on healing. Now, we're ready for another break. I'm going to go ahead and take our break, and we'll come back with more information on Reiki. It is time for a break. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, live with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, 1510 AM NBC Sports Radio Boston. We'll be back for further information on Reiki. And to call in during the second half of the show, the local number, 617-237-1234, or you can call toll-free, 866-338-9663. Thank you.
Join us every first Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Sunday at 8 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Are you ready to be who your soul wants you to be? Join Lynn McGonigal, the founder of the Lightworkers Healing Method, as she and her amazing guests show you how to move into a life of lasting joy. Miracles happen every second Sunday at 6 p.m. right here on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Hasn't your soul already waited long enough?
The Massachusetts Soldiers Legacy Fund, MSLF, was founded in 2004 with a simple goal: to provide educational assistance grants to the children of Massachusetts service members who were killed while deployed on operations enduring and Iraqi freedom. With its current resources, the MSLF guarantees a minimum of $40,000, $10,000 per annum, in educational funding to each child of a fallen service member whose home of record at the Department of Defense was Massachusetts. There's no selection process. If an individual is a child of a service member whose service is credited to Massachusetts and whom gave his or her life in Operation Enduring or Iraqi Freedom, that child qualifies for MSLF funds. We're proud to report that we're accomplishing our founding objective thanks to the support of individuals and organizations throughout the United States. To donate, go to mslfund.org.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show, Saturdays 2 to 3 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Saturday 2 to 3 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
The Dream Vision 7 Radio Network presents Kids for Love. Join Deborah Beauvais and her young co-hosts and celebrate kids making a difference. We invite other kids to join in for spirited conversation filled with creative ideas and possibilities to start your own mission. Let's raise the bar together and cultivate a kinder world by getting inspired to help others in need. Kids for Love Project, celebrating kids that empower others. Callers into the show are in a drawing. It's every first Saturday at 2 p.m.
Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? through the principles of heart living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and energy medicine practitioner. You'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Connect with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff through her Dream Vision 7 radio show, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Visit Cynthia's website at heartliving.com and like her Facebook page at facebook.com/heartliving for inspiration and guidance. Cynthia has helped thousands transform their lives. Let her lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Join us every second and fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. You're listening to a Dream Vision 7 Radio live broadcast here at 1510 AM NBC Sports Radio Boston. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, host of Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Our topic this evening is Reiki, a healing method. Now, I understand we have a caller on hold, so if the caller will go ahead.
Hi, I'm David.
Hi, David. Thank you for calling. You can go ahead.
Attuned years ago to Reiki, and I'm really interested in getting back into it. Do I need to go through the process of being attuned again? I remember how to give a session. But what about getting a new attunement? Do I need to do that since it's been a lot of years?
Okay. It's a great question, David, and I'm glad that you want to get back into the Reiki practice. If you remember how to give a Reiki session to others and to yourself, you really do not need to receive another attunement. Technically, in Japan, they would tell you that you never lose the first attunement that you receive. But on the other hand, some people do ask for a repeat attunement if they've gone through a crisis or they want to balance their energy again. It can't do any harm for you to receive another attunement, but technically it would not be necessary in order to be a provider or a channel for Reiki. Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay. Well, that's great.
Okay, and so I hope that helps, and good luck with everything. I'm glad you're getting back into the Reiki.
Thanks so much for calling.
Okay,
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, so we're back from the break, and I was mentioning that a Reiki session, again, you're lying on a cot or on a massage table. It's hands-on healing, and it is 12 hand positions over the major energy centers of the body. And I don't talk during a Reiki session, as most practitioners do not talk, because really what happens when you're receiving any kind of healing work is if you're talking, often you're not so much in your body, you're more in your head. So, again, I advocate not talking and allowing the person to really receive the peaceful, relaxing feeling that it does provide. Now, for the practitioner to learn Reiki, Reiki is actually taught in three levels, and in each level, the student receives an energetic attunement to shift and harmonize their own field. And again, I mentioned before, that's what creates that 21-day clearing process. So the three levels of Reiki, the fourth being the Reiki Master Teacher. Basically, in level one, you receive an attunement, you understand or learn the history of Reiki and benefits, and you learn how to administer a hands-on healing session in person. Then in level two, you receive a second level attunement, which further opens your chakras, your hands, and your heart. You learn how to give a distance healing session. Again, not one in person, but a distance session, and you learn the power and use of three Reiki healing symbols. And then in level three, you become a Reiki master, which really is a way of saying you get in touch with the master within yourself, and you receive the third level attunement, which is the highest level. It, again, further opens the chakras, the hands, the heart, your third eye, and your mind, and integrates your entire energy system. The student learns the master symbol, also learns how to create and use what's called a Reiki crystal healing grid, and that's a topic in itself. It's a wonderful technique that you can learn to use to send Reiki. And you also learn an energy strengthening method. And then the final level is called the Reiki Master Teacher. And you have to be a Reiki Master to become a Reiki Master Teacher. The teacher does not include an attunement, because really the master is the highest level attunement, but rather it helps you to understand the methods for teaching each of the levels that I have mentioned, you know, so you can be an effective Reiki Master Teacher. But the Reiki Master is attuned to the highest vibration, and the certification for teacher is really just to help you to learn how to teach and administer attunements. Now, I encourage you to view pictures at my website at heartliving.com, and particularly my Facebook, which is facebook.com/heartliving, because I have so many pictures that I just took in Japan. I do have a Japanese and American website. Both are listed at Facebook, Heart Living Facebook. And then also, if you do have any questions, you can email me at heartliving@cox.net. The Japanese website will be linked this week to my American website, so those of you who might be listening from Japan could know how to link it that way. Now, here are a few tips also to help you as a practitioner. You know, you can, the actual space, you don't have to give Reiki only in a relaxing treatment room. It could be administered on a busy street, an airplane, or anywhere. And I want to give you a personal example. About 6 years ago, I was in a really bad car accident. I was going through an intersection on a green light, and a guy ran a red light and hit the front of my car. And I'm just really grateful that he hit the front of the car, because if we'd been seconds off, he would have hit my door, and of course I would be killed because of the impact. It took the whole front of my car off. But as I was waiting to be transported to the hospital, and then also, you know, while at the hospital most of that day waiting for an MRI, I did Reiki on myself, and this is something you learn to do when you're attuned to Reiki. I had had a previous car accident, and my back had been injured previously, so I more or less expected the next day to feel the old back problems again, you know, as well as whatever had happened, because my head had hit the headrest really hard, and my back had felt very numb after that accident. Anyway, much to my delight, I didn't have any problems the next day, and I was absolutely shocked that that was the case. And my teacher, who had trained me, later said that I simply had to experience this to learn the power of Reiki. So anyway, I know now the power, and hopefully we'll have no other further opportunities to learn about it. So let's see, what else do I want to tell you? Some of the information about giving a session, I feel like you can learn from your practitioner, or if should I ever teach you, you would learn from me. If emotions do come up for a person, you know, a feeling of needing to cry, then allow that person, of course, to feel those emotions. It's just simply a release. And I usually use soft instrumental music, too, because I like for the person to just really relax into that vibrational music. But Reiki is going to treat the body, the mind, and the spirit, since we're an integrated whole. And it heals deeply at a cellular level. You know, they say it heals the past as well as present and future, and can, again, be used in conjunction with all other therapies. So earlier I had mentioned about animals. You could treat animals with Reiki. Remember that Reiki is a universal life force energy, and science tells us that everything is really a form of energy. So using Reiki to heal animals, it just makes total sense. And the fact that studies have shown that animals have improved after Reiki treatments further supports this idea of healing, since animals can't be tricked into, you know, showing a healing process if they're not actually undergoing one. So anyway, I've personally trained a number of Reiki masters who use Reiki to heal not only their own pets, but who've assisted in veterinary offices, at horse farms, and so on. And even though we don't know how animals feel when receiving Reiki, what I do think we notice and what my students have said is that the animals get quieter, and I certainly notice that about my own dog. And instead of using the 12 hand positions on humans, on an animal, there are certain methods that can be used, and there are books out there that help you to understand, once you become a Reiki practitioner, how to use Reiki on an animal. One client mentioned to me that she places her hands behind her dog's ears at a point where the dog likes to be stroked, and then treats the rest of the body systematically, or, you know, even intuitively, because you would have an idea about that. Reiki can work on plants. You actually beam the energy over the plants, and this is a way of sending energy, healing energy, to the plants. And yes, it can work on electronic equipment. And there are many stories about equipment working better after the process. Again, I think you can Google that and find more information. So I mentioned in-person sessions and distance healing, sometimes referred to as non-local or remote healing. That is also a technique that I said was taught in level two. And, you know, think of sending prayer on behalf of a person. And in a way, what you're doing with Reiki is you have a specific method that you learn and symbols that you use. And in your mind's eye, you give a treatment to the person without having them in person. So, you know, rather simple to do. Now, there is research on Reiki, the Center for Reiki Research. You can Google if you want to find more information out about its efficacy. As far as my experiences in Japan, I have taken 15 trips. This last one, I believe, is my 15th trip. And I've worked in five major cities. And I had a wonderful opportunity through a friend in Tokyo to visit Dr. Yasui's gravesite and to see the beautiful monument stone there. And later on a second trip, I met an amazing business owner as a client in Japan who arranged for me to come to Kyoto. And I honestly didn't know that I would be within 1 hour of Mount Karama, where Dr. Yasui had received his enlightenment in the history that I had shared with you. But at any rate, I did get to go to Mount Karama and actually got to the mountain before I even realized I was at Mount Karama. I'd gone from Tokyo to Kyoto by bullet train, which was a three-hour trip, and I honestly wasn't sure where I was or what was happening. But at any rate, I was able to get to the mountain. I began asking questions and found out, wow, this is Mount Karama. So my friend and client had so graciously arranged for me to receive a healing service by Buddhist monks on the mountain in the temple there. And I sat on a red mat with my Japanese friends on mats to the right and left of me as I heard a service entirely in Japanese, which, by the way, I don't speak. I always have an interpreter. But the only thing I could make out was Shinshia Bischoff, America. And I realized after they told me they were blessing me. So, you know, what an amazing experience. And I found out also, ironically, that my name, Shinshia, Shin in Japanese is heart. So Shinshia means heart poem to God, and I was quite amazed when I was told that was the kanji for my name. So thanks, Mom, for coming up with my name without having a clue that I'd ever teach in Japan. And I've had many trips to Japan, but again, Nagoya was the trip I went to the last three times, the place I should say. And I taught and did 35 individual healing sessions that were really just amazing for me because I truly feel like it's a gift to me to be able to help other people. It's an amazing place, and right now in Japan there are so many festivals. I helped lead a tour to what's called the Ise Shrine, I-S-E, and you can find out, again, lots more about that with pictures at my Facebook page, Heart Living. So basically, as we begin to close our show this evening, I thank you so much for tuning in. It was such a pleasure to spend this time with you. I hope that you enjoyed the information about Reiki as a healing method and that you may, in fact, try it out. In addition to my YouTube Heart Living video channel and Heart Living Facebook page, I encourage you to visit my website at heartliving.com because I do have a number of new products coming in January. I now have a new Japanese website. Again, the link will be put to the American website, and I have other ebooks, podcasts, and webinars coming. So thank you so much for sharing this evening with me, and I hope that you will practice Heart Living by living your life with passion and purpose. I look forward to our January program. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, live with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, 1510 AM, NBC Sports Radio Boston. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Join us the first Sunday evening of every month at 7 p.m. to explore ways to live a more inspired and passionate life. Gain clarity, balance, and purpose as Cynthia guides